You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
What I want to talk to you about this morning is the word blessed. As you enter the year, my prayer for you is that you would be blessed. And I want you to realize that you have been blessed, and you may not just be aware of it for several reasons. And that's what I want to walk you through. Because sometimes what we think blessed is if I have a new car, I'm blessed. If I have a house of my own, I'm blessed. If I have a lot of money, I'm blessed. And I want to caution you that while there's partial truth to that, that's not exactly what to be blessed means. There are a lot of people who are blessed with new things and they're not happy. There are a lot of people who have new cars and new houses and new things, but they're not blessed by any stretch. Because to be blessed is something far greater than just material possessions, than just having the things that you want and care about. And I want to walk you through these three questions that will help you understand what it means to be blessed, in the hopes that you can recognize it when you're already in the zone of being blessed. And the other reason is for you to identify it so you know I'm not blessed, in which case I've got to figure out how to get into the zone so that I make sure I'm blessed. We're going to answer the question, what does it mean to be blessed? We're going to ask you the question, how do I get blessed? The reason why I want to answer the question, what, is because you may not even want to be blessed. And so we want to talk about that. What is it? When people say, they have a blessed year, you're blessed, God bless you, what does that mean? And then how do I get that? And finally, we're going to talk about who. Let's talk about the what first. We're looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. The first part of that verse is, God blessed them and said to them. Now, that word blessed in this very verse, in this first verse, in the first chapter of the entire Bible, is the very first time the word blessed was ever used in reference to mankind. The only other time the word blessed was used was in reference to creation itself. And the first time it was ever mentioned for mankind was right here. So if you want to define what to be blessed means, you want to look at this word, this verse, and understand what this word means. To be blessed, he says, really, the word, the Hebrew word, as well as the New Testament word, means a state of happiness. As a pastor, I have a very interesting job. I have what you call a roller coaster job. I'm there for birthday parties. I'm there for weddings. I'm there for child dedications. I'm there for graduations. I'm there for all the happy stuff. I'm there for the guy's promotion. I'm there for all the celebrations. I'm there for the inauguration. But in the same breath, I'm also there for the marriage that failed. I'm also there for the early morning councils where this family is not going to make it if I don't talk to you today kind of stuff. I'm also there for the guy who my mother has stage 4 cancer type of deals. And I'm also there for my mother just passed away deals. So I'm kind of like a roller coaster thing emotionally. And that's where you really understand this word blessed, when you understand where I live. That to be blessed is to be in a state of happiness, this has nothing to do with everything that's going on around you. One particular moment, I was on vacation. I actually did a wedding in Baguio City. And after that, we spent the day in Baguio just sitting and having lunch with my family. And within an hour, I had 3 text messages from 3 different people about 3 different things. One was a person who just celebrated a great event in his life or her life. The other person was somebody who cut a huge, humongous, multi-million dollar deal. And the third was a lady who was a member of this church who we've walked with, prayed with, ushered with, who had just passed away at that same hour. And so I want you to understand what blessed means. It's got nothing to do with what is out there. It's a permanent state of happiness. When you're blessed, you're always happy regardless of what's happening in your life. That doesn't mean happy as in you're always exuberant, but there's a supernatural joy that comes with it. I want you to walk away here understanding that blessed does not mean all your problems will disappear. Blessed does not mean that all your wishes will come true. Blessed does not mean that all your problems will not be there tomorrow. Blessed simply means a state of happiness. Kind of state of happiness which is defined here in Genesis chapter 1. What does it mean? First of all, it says be fruitful. When God blessed man, the first concept and context of the idea of being blessed is to be fruitful. That word fruitful means to have excess life, to have so much life in you that it comes out of you. It's not as if you're always trying to catch your breath. You're always trying to catch your to sustain. You're always, a lot of people live their life without fruitfulness. They're always under stress. It's almost like, I'm not going to make it to this day. I've got to pause. Fruitfulness is just a natural offshoot of life. To be blessed means you've got so much life inside of you, it just naturally bears fruit. You're just thriving. That's what we're going to study over the next 4 weeks. What does it mean to just thrive? That I don't have to strive. I don't have to keep pushing the thing. I'm actually something that's, when you think about fruitfulness, a tree does not force or induce itself to bear fruit. If a tree is healthy, it'll naturally just thrive and bear fruit. And that's what you want to be. That's what it means to be blessed. I don't need all the trimmings. I don't need, while that's nice to have that, that's not what it means to be blessed. It says to increase in number, to generate, to have seed, to have so much increase. That's what it means to be blessed. The joy of God in you, the resources of God in you are increasing in measure. There's a hint from the word fruitful. It doesn't happen overnight. What you want to do is set the course of being blessed, that over a period of time, that thing produces itself. I'm going to unpack that in a bit here for you. Fill the earth. Fill the earth with the blessing of God. Fill the earth with the kind of life that you should have. Be a blessing to others, it says. And then subdue it, which really means, what that means, the word subdue means is to conquer, to overcome. Whatever situation you're facing at the moment, and you will have plenty. I'm supposed to go to Cagayan de Oro next week and visit our church down there. Hard to think about how those people could be blessed in the midst of some of those guys, about 50 of them lost their homes. And yet we're going to look at them and tell them you're blessed. And I'm going to explain to you why we can say that to them. Day after that, I'm going to have to fly to Indonesia and talk to our believers there. When you talk to believers there, it's not an easy place because it's one of the largest Islamic nations in the world. And yet we're saying to them, overcome. You can do this. Regardless of what your situation, that's my prayer for you this year, that you would walk a blessed life, a fruitful, thriving life that's increasing. It's not decreasing, that's literally increasing, that's filling the earth, that allows you to overcome whatever situation you're facing next year or this year. And finally, he says, rule over. What that means is to be responsible, to be able to respond to whatever situation you're facing, to be able to say, God, you are able to meet me at this turn. That's what it means to be blessed. This year, may you walk out of here realizing that. That I am thriving, that I am fruitful, that I am increasing in number. It may be bleak right now, but at some point in time, God's blessing is going to chase after me. That's what it means to govern, to rule over and to govern. Now let me walk you through really the heart of what I want to show you this morning. If that's what it means to be blessed, then the big question is, how do I get there? That's what I want you to walk out with this morning. How? How do I make sure that I live in a constant state of happiness and being blessed? My wife and my sons went on vacation this holiday season. And before that, I actually asked my three sons if I could have a strategic planning meeting with them. How many of you have ever had a strategic planning meeting with your family? My sons are all adults now. One is married, the other one is intending to get married, and I've got a third son who I don't know if he's ever gonna get married. I think he's gonna get married at some point. But I just had to have a strat plan with them. And I sat down with them. I said, we've got to make sure that as we transition our lives, that we stay blessed, that we stay happy together. And we spent 2 days together. How many of you know when you're with your four sons and then you watch the championship UFC, how many of you know you're blessed? Some of you don't understand what I'm talking about. But I spent a lot of time with them and just had a whiteboard and some paper and just walk them out through, here's how we're going to relate, and we're not doing that, and we're doing this, and we're staying together, and we're going to love each other, and we prayed together, and we were just talking about how it means to be a family. And I was looking at that day and I thought, gosh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with three sons who love each other. I'm blessed with guys who have a great mom. But how? How do I do that? And I start tracing back. Some of these are not rocket science. Some of these are not big revelation. Some of these are rather simple. And I'm going to walk you through Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, blessed. Everybody say, blessed, happy, in a state of happiness. A guy who does this is in a state of happiness. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners. By the way, this is the NIV 2011 version. That's why I'm not familiar with this as much. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked and stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. I was about to say, sit in the seat of mockers. You sit in the company of mockers. There's three things I want you to take note here. How do you make sure you're blessed this year? Point number one, it says, the one who does not, the guy who's blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Question for you this morning. Whose example are you following? Whose steps are you following? Are you following God's steps? Are you still at the place where you're able to walk away from things that are not of God? I am 54 years old now, and I'm turning 55 very soon, about 4 months. And I'll tell you this, to this day, this is a practice. If I see anything on television, on the internet, in the movie that is ungodly, I get out. I close my eyes, I stand up, and walk out. Why? Because I will not walk in the example of the wicked. I refuse to, because that is how you get unblessed. What are the practices that you do with your business, with your life? What are the values that you have? Whose values do you have? Some of you are very quiet this morning. Are you already awake? Happy New Year. Come on. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the steps of the wicked. That's not hard. That's a decision you have to make. If you want to have a constant, continuous state of happiness, blessed is the man who refuses to walk in the steps of the wicked. Pure and simple. I wish I could make this nicer and embellish it some more, give you more revelation. Blessed, happy is the man who does not walk in the example of the wicked. Let me repeat myself so I were very, very clear this morning. Happy, happy, extremely happy, joyful, unbelievably joyful is the man who refuses to walk in the example of the wicked. If you want to be blessed, that's the first key. He refuses. Now, that doesn't mean, please do not walk away here and say, Pastor said I should not meet ungodly people. On the contrary, I think you should. I hang out with a lot of ungodly people. I love ungodly people because I love people. I want to lead people to Jesus. But the very single minute that I feel that my righteous ways are going to be compromised, I start walking away. The very single second I feel that I'm going to be jeopardized and my relationship with God's going to be jeopardized, or I can't handle that anymore, that temptation is way too strong for me, I get out. Why? Because happy, blessed is the man who does not walk in the step of the wicked. The guy who does not stand in the way that sinners stay. What do you stand for? What do you stand for? What is it that you really stand for? What is it that you are willing to give everything to? You're going to be blessed depending on that. And finally, he says, and this is key, some of you young people need to hear this. If you want to be blessed, who does not sit in the company of mockers? Whose company do you keep? Who are your friends? How do they influence you? Listen to me and watch my mouth very closely. All you young people, watch my mouth, okay? Everybody, look up here. You will be just like the people you hang out with. You will be just like them. If you hang out long enough, you're going to have their values. You're going to like what they like. You're going to do that. Here's my simple admonition to you. Find people who love God. It's simple. Whether you find them corny Whether you don't like the way they dress, you don't like the way they talk, let me tell you something. If you want to be blessed, hang out with people who love God. I have no other recipe for you. It's going to be one of my strongest messages this year for you. But only because I love you. I want you to have a great start. Find people who genuinely love God. And you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to end up loving God. You find people who don't love God, you're going to end up not loving God. It's that simple. I wish I had another way of saying this that was more creative, but there's not another way. The bottom line is, what example are you following? What do you really stand for? And thirdly, whose company do you keep? Whose relationships do you value the most? Because that will determine how you're going to be. Are you going to be blessed this year or not? But whose delight, here's what it says, don't do all of that. But then it says, but his delight. That word delight simply means this. It means somebody who takes great pleasure. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I pray that you delight in God's word, that you don't just come to church. I'm glad you're here at church January 1st. I'm glad you love the word, to listen to it, but I need you to understand, meditating on the word and loving and delighting in the word is literally to be addicted to it. Love that word. Look for that word. Cherish that word. Lord, your word is like a lamp to my feet. Your word is like fresh water to me. That's how you're going to be blessed. It won't matter what the state of affairs is. It won't matter how the economy is going. You're going to be happy regardless of what happens. One of the bridges I had to cross was 2005. Many of you know that story. And my youngest son always teases me and says, that's your favorite story. It's not my favorite story. It's just one of the most traumatic years in my life. And that's why it always comes back. It was the year I almost lost one of my sons. But you know, when I look back at my diary of 2005, I was blessed. I was still blessed. Are you still with me? It's irrelevant what's happening around you. You're blessed simply because God says you're blessed. And if you abide in Him, you will walk in that constant state of happiness regardless of what's going on in your life and in that year. He says, delight in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in the law of the Lord? Or are you the type that's barely just, okay, if that's the law of the Lord, I'm just going to stay right here. I'm just going to stay right enough just so they can't say that I'm making a mistake. Or do you delight in it where you're actually basking in it? And saying, God, I want to keep it. I want to follow it. I want to do it. I want to live it. I want to be your word. I want to be like you. That's what it means to delight. And then it goes on to say, he doesn't just delight in it. He meditates on it. Do you stop and pause when you make a decision and literally ask God, God, is this something you're telling me to do or not to do? Is this something you want me to do? Is this something that's contrary to your word? And then he goes on to say, not just meditate on it, but meditate on it day and night. You know what day and night means, right? There's only day and there's only night, which means it's the whole day. God wants you meditating on that word day and night, thinking about that word day and night. And here's the promise he says. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. That's blessed. It's not immediate. It's not instantaneous. But he says, if you be that person who meditates on that word day and night, who refuses to follow the example of the world, who refuses the company of mockers, you know what a mocker is? Somebody who ridicules God's people. Somebody who makes fun of God's things. That's a mocker. And I refuse that. I say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And then he says, that person will be like a tree planted by... Can you ever picture a tree that's planted by streams of water? Not striving, just thriving. Just growing, just prospering, just bearing fruit. More seed than he could ever need or want. And just gives it away freely. Because he's thriving. Which yields its fruit in season. How many of you want to yield fruit in season? When the time to bear fruit bears fruit. And finally, whose leaf. How many of you think about people who actually bore a lot of fruit? By the time they bore fruit, they look like a tree that was dying. Don't want to be like that. You want someone who prospers. I am at the moment meditating on this thought, not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. The chaff is the thing that covers the seed. At some point, it removes it. There's a place where God removes that portion and lets the seed fall and grow and thrive. There's a place where the separation happens. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Keep in mind that God's always watching you. I was, during the holidays, I've been reading this book, and I wish that this book gets distributed because I don't think it's available commercially, but it was handed to me during a wake. The title of the book is Arling, Her Cup Runneth Over. And it was a fascinating story. In fact, in many ways, one of the reasons why I'm preaching this to you is I was reading her book. I've read books of American Christians who got blessed. I've read of people from Europe, people from all over the world. I've not read someone who's a Filipino who served God, who literally loved God, and had a chronicle of her life. And so I had a moment to meet her, and she was just before she passed away. She was 98 years old. And when I read this book, everything I'm telling you right now happened to her. It's crazy. When you talk about fruitfulness and thriving, 98 years old. She was the founder of a company called Dalisay Patis. How many of you old guys know what Dalisay Patis is? It's a fascinating story because she wanted to go into business and she didn't have a lot of money, so she started to subcontract. Some of you older Filipinos will remember these stories. Rufina Patis. How many of you remember Rufina Patis? Okay. And she was a subcontractor for Rufina Patis. But her patis was different because she would be the only person who would haul her salt from all the way from Pangasinan because she prayed to the Lord. This is her book. She prayed to the Lord and God said, go to Pangasinan and buy your salt there. Everybody buys salt from Las Piñas, which is a lot closer. She, because of God's leading, went all the way to Pangasinan. How many of you know that doesn't sound right? But she did it in the days when there were no highways. She ended up buying all of these salt beds in Pangasinan and literally was able to source some of the finest salt in the country, thereby being able to produce the finest of patis. That's why she called it Dalisay Patis. Dalisay meaning the purest. Okay? But that's not the completeness of the story. The completeness of the story is Rufina Patis eventually got rid of her subcontracting job because they could now produce their own patis, more patis. They put out their own factory. So she ends up with no business. Then she invents Dalisay Patis and rides a jeep, drives it herself, brings her little baby girl, and drives around, peddles her patis. How many of you know God can bless a woman like that? Here's an amazing woman. Here's the fascinating story. Here's where I need you to understand about how it means to be fruitful. Many, many, many years later, all the salt beds of Las Piñas are gone. But her salt bed still exists. In fact, now, her grandchildren are exporting her salt. They're chef quality salt now. You see, life's pretty long. It's not really short. God wants to bless us. But see, we're in a hurry. Where's that car? Where's that house? Where's all the money? Where's all the money? And we disregard God's blessing. When I study this woman's life, it's so fascinating. Her youngest daughter is now the chairman of the board of PNB. Amazing. And when you look at you know why I'm recommending this book to you? Not because I want you to understand who their family is, because you cannot turn a page where this woman does not talk about God, the Bible, and prayer. You couldn't turn a page of this book where all she says, it was God, God, prayer, God, declaring the word, prayer, God, endless, endless times. At one point, she made some money. She wanted to buy this land. And her husband, who's a secretary of agriculture at one point, said, don't buy that land. It's worth nothing. But it's half the price. And so they were in a disagreement. So she started to pray. Prayer, hello. Meditating on God's word. Being led by God. Tapping into God's goodness before you decide. And says, God, do you want me to buy this land? And if you want me to buy this land, I'll be able to sell enough patis to buy it. You know what happened? At the end of the day, enough patis was sold. She was able to buy the land. She started buying the land, and people thought she was nuts. She bought so much land from selling patis, she was able to buy 200 hectares of land. How many of you know 200 hectares? How many of you know that's a lot of land? From patis. Okay? But the land was worthless. You couldn't grow mango on the land. It was all rocks. In the 1980s, when the Philippines started building bridges and roads, it was became one of the biggest sources of aggregates in the country. Amazing story. And when you look at her story, it's just fascinating how God's just kept her and blessed her, lost her husband, went through challenges, it's a fascinating book because it walks you through the Japanese War. It just walks you through history. And five generations of Christians. Her mother, she, her children, her grandchildren, and now her great-grandchildren. Serving God. Thriving. Increasing in number. Being fruitful. Subduing the land. Overcoming. Conquering. Did they have problems? You know what that love about my perfect part about this book is? She is not perfect. All the contributors were saying she was just she was a harsh lady. She said all the bad stuff about, and yet God, for some reason, blessed her. Because you don't have to be perfect to be blessed. You just have to abide. You just have to say, God, I'm following you. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the steps of the unrighteous and the wicked, who will not join the company of mockers, and who will not seat in the company of mockers. Blessed is that person who refuses to do what's wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which will yield its fruit in season, and its leaves will not wither, and whatsoever he or she does will prosper. I found this book. That's why during the holidays when I was taking a break with my children, I couldn't put it down. I just, one page after the other was a verse, a revelation, a touch from God, serving God, loving God, honoring God, doing all sorts of, I think about 93 years old, she started a coffee business and started supplying Figaro coffee. And now her family is the largest shareholder of Coffee Bean. She never thought of that. She didn't even want to do that. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the footsteps of the unrighteous, who refuses to sit in the seat of mockers. Blessed is that person. That person will prosper. I'm encouraging you to do that. As I close this morning, we know what it is, being fruitful, thriving, increasing in number, prospering. And please don't get me wrong. I believe that you could be like me. I don't have her land. I'm a pastor. But I can assure you I am blessed. I was in a brief holiday with my family, and I was, one moment we were walking to a restaurant. It wasn't going to be an expensive restaurant. But at one moment, I pulled back and I was watching my wife and my three sons and the two girls that are now becoming part of my family. And I couldn't, I paused for a moment and it's just like the Holy Spirit was just whispering into my ear and saying, you're blessed, Joe. You're so blessed. You're so blessed. You're fruitful. You're thriving. You're increasing in number. Sometimes the reason why we don't see the blessing is we're looking for something that's not really a blessing. We're expecting that once this happens, I'm blessed. No, 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 no. That's not how this works. You're already blessed. Let me close with who? The only real source of blessing. And this is the fascinating thing about Arling's book. Every page, it was about Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. Jesus is the answer. Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name. It was like what her, one of her great-grandchildren said, walang bukang bibig si Lola Arling kung hindi Jesus. She opens her mouth and it's Jesus. And I thought, wow, not rocket science, not deep theology, just Jesus. This woman just said, if I will confess Jesus, my faithful Jesus will take care of the rest. Amazing. I'm going to try and get the family to supply us with this book and put it in the bookstore. I really recommend it. I really do. I mean, it's just, and I'm not promoting their family. I'm just saying I have yet to find a Filipino family of 5 generations that love God and serve God. It actually explains the moment how her mother got saved. Her mother refused to be saved because she was a very staunch Catholic and very religious woman. And what she did was her husband got saved because somebody preached the word to him, became a believer, and could invite his wife to church. And she refused to go to church. She would sit outside, but she would listen to the preacher. Then one day, the word of God just pierced her heart. That woman became Arling's mother. And they said one of the most generous women they've ever met. A woman was so generous, she would help the poor all over Cabanatuan, all over Nueva Ecija. She's so kind. At one point, one of her children's houses was robbed. The robbers came in. This is a fascinating story. I was going to laugh or I was going to cry. And the robbers were robbing the house and their son arrived. And as he opened the door, the thieves said, they realized when they were robbing the house that this was the house of the son of one of the, they saw the family name, Lapus. And so they asked the guy, when they had accosted him, about to hurt him, they said, do you know this woman? He said, yes, that's my mother. And the chief thief said, guys, we've got to return everything. We've got to leave here. This woman has done nothing but good. We've got to leave. How many of you know God blesses those who love Him? God blesses. And many times you don't even see it anymore. Just walk. Walk in step with God this year. Stay in the company of those that love Him. Meditate on that word day and night. And the promise is you will be blessed. Amen? Jesus, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every, everybody say every spiritual blessing in Christ. You're blessed. You're blessed. You are blessed. Some of you are still not, you're blessed. You're blessed. With every spiritual blessing. Now, that was one of my inspirations for preaching this message, but let me give you the real inspiration. My father, my 82-year-old father, was watching, came to my house for Christmas. Christmas Eve, and said, I want to watch my favorite Christmas movie. More like this. I want to watch my favorite. He has a little more teeth. But I want to watch my favorite Christmas movie. I said, sure, Pop. So we put on White Christmas. White Christmas is an old, old, old movie. And Bing Crosby sang a song here, which Michael Bublé, some of you young guys thought Michael Bublé sang this song. No. Michael Bublé is a copycat. The real song is here, okay? And if you're younger than us, bear and humor the older folks. They're the ones who woke up early this morning and got here. You're being dragged, and we know that. And so we're going to have to honor the older folks in the room today. This is Bing Crosby singing a song, which really what's inspired me to preach this message to you, to George Clooney's mother, Rosemary Clooney, in the scene from White Christmas, and talking about what it means. This is my last tip for you about blessing.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep. I fall asleep counting my blessings. when my bankroll is getting small, I think of when I had none at all. And I fall asleep counting my blessings.
You're going to have to buy the CD to hear the rest. Would you stand on your feet as we close with a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, teach us to count our blessings, foremost of which is we have a relationship with you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending us Jesus to awaken us to the truth, to know that we are sinners, hopeless, hell-bound, both here on earth and just through eternity. But thanks be to you, Jesus, that we're saved by your blood, cleansed. Lord, that we're able to walk with confidence and truth. I pray that you give us faith this year to trust in nothing and no one but you. I pray, Father, that we would have Arlene's faith. Lord, that old woman's faith that was like a little girl, Lord, a childlike faith, to believe that your word is true, that your word is holy. Lord, we declare that we're blessed. That blessed is the man who does not walk in the steps of the wicked, who does not sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Lord, you said that we will be like a tree planted by streams of water, will yield our fruit in season, whose leaves shall not wither, and that whatever we do will prosper. Seal this truth in our hearts this morning. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everyone said, Amen and Amen.